Parshas Metzora, Chelek Chof Beis. After discussing the legal status of the Zov, a male who has an uncommon discharge, and then Shechvas Zera, a common seminal discharge, and the laws of Nida, a woman's menstrual flow, and Zava, a woman who has an uncommon discharge, with the lengthy commentaries of Rashi explaining in depth all the laws and intentions of the verses. In the very last verses of chapter 15, in this week's Torah portion, verses 32, Lamed Beis, and 33, Lamed Gimel, read, Zeis Teres HaZov, this is the law of the Zov, one who has a discharge. Va'asher teitzei mimeno shechva zera, l'tamava, and one who has a seminal discharge, through which he becomes unclean. Continuing into the next verse, the Torah states, V'hadova benidasa, and for a woman who has her menstrual flow, V'hazov es zovei, and for one who has a discharge, L'zochar v'lenakeva, whether male or female, U'l'ish asher yishkav im tmeya, and a man who cohabits with an unclean woman. These are the laws. When reading the verses, it sounds like with the words Zeis Teres HaZov, the Torah is wrapping up the mitzvahs just discussed, the halachas of the Zov in the portion. But in fact, Rashi explains these verses, quoting the words Zeis Teres HaZov, and it says, Baal Ri'iya Achas. In fact, this is a reference to one who sees one discharge. Umaho Teirasai. And what is the law that governs him? Rashi continues with the words in the verse. And one from whom semen issues. A Shechva Zera. In other words, he is like one who has experienced a seminal emission. And what is that law? The law is that he is unclean only until evening. Rashi says that the verse is referencing one who has a single seminal discharge, regarding whom the law is similar to the Baal Keri, the one who has a common seminal discharge, the Shechvas Zera, who remains impure only until evening. Rashi then comments on the following verse, and says, quoting the words Vahazov es Zovei, and for one, that this expression refers to someone who has seen two discharges, and someone who has seen three discharges, whose law is specified earlier in the entire passage previously. Commentaries on Rashi tell us that Rashi notes that these words Zeis Teres HaZov are not in fact rounding up the laws we just discussed, but rather the verse is referring to a first emission of this type, a single emission, and the pertaining laws in this situation are spoken about here in this verse, because the relevant law here is different to the earlier discussions about a Zov. The specifics of the law in regards to this individual are that this first-time emission carries the stringency, a much lighter stringency, like one who has had a seminal emission. And Rashi is forced to this conclusion, say the commentaries, that the verse that begins with the words V'zois Teres HaZov is teaching us about witnessing the first Zov emission, which we have not yet been taught in the Torah, due to the Torah's seeming repetition in the next verse with the words V'hazov es zovei of the laws of the Zov that we have learned in earlier verses regarding those who have a second or third Zov emission. And therefore Rashi teaches this as referring to two categories, that Zeis Teres HaZov is the category of one who sees a first-time emission, and this is taught apart from the earlier laws because it has a different determination, which is that he is like the one who is a Baal Keri. And and that the words in the verse that follows, that Vahazov Ezeve, refers to one who has had two sightings, or even three, of this omission, which the Torah has discussed earlier in the chapter. There are, however, several complications with this explanation of the commentaries when one observes the literal verses, which Rashi says Rashi comes to clarify. Why, for one, would the Torah only teach the law of a single sighting of a Zav only at the conclusion of the entire Torah portion? After all other categories of impurity and omissions have been taught, and after the Torah warns us to be careful regarding impurities, why not earlier on when the laws of the Zav, or even the laws of the Baal Keri are taught, who is also someone who has witnessed the one sighting of an omission? Logically, it would make sense to have this law of the person who has had one sighting of a Zav there earlier on, as one can't witness a second sighting or a third until there was a first. And the second and third are discussed earlier, as we said. And secondly, this explanation would mean that the words Zeis Teiras in verse 32 must be, according to Rashi, divided into two different meanings. One is Teiras Hazav, the law of the Zav that is being taught now about one omission. Another meaning entirely is that these words are referring to the conclusion of what was already taught. A third issue would be that as the conclusion and summation of the laws taught earlier, one of the two possible meanings we just mentioned, is a complete reversal of the order in which the laws are taught in the Torah. The laws of Zav, the uncommon discharge, comes first in Torah, before the laws of Shivch Vasera, the nocturnal common discharge, and then come the laws of the Nida, the laws of the menstruating woman. But Rashi's explanation would have a summation in a complete reversal of this order. Why would Rashi, who teaches only the literal intention of the verses, teach this obvious repetition as one who had a first omission, and then one who has had a second and third omission? Rashi, it seems, should have taught these words, Zeis Teiras Hazav, as a summation of what we've learned, the laws of one who has had two omissions, and then the words V'hazav Ezeve, as one who has had three omissions, as he taught and explained earlier on in the verses, teaching that these two are indeed two different categories in law. Two omissions has certain specification and impurity applied, but three omissions requires a sacrifice. And then, to explain why in these two categories of Zav, two and three omissions, there would be a reversal of the order of the Zav who had three omissions, in this verse where it follows the law of the Nida and the law of Shechvas Zera, but earlier in the verses, it precedes these laws, as Rashi explains it. We could suggest that this is due to the fact that only these two categories of the Zava, the woman with the uncommon discharge and the male with a third discharge, they carry a different halachic ruling, which is that they require a sacrificial offering to atone for the impurity of this omission. Now, if we're trying to understand what troubles Rashi in this verse, prompting this explanation, it would seem that Rashi is bothered by the redundancy in the repetition and in the words, and the Zav in his status of Zivus, which is different to the verse that precedes it, where the Torah just says, Zeis Teiras Hazav. This is the law of the Zav, a singular usage of the word Zav. This, then, we can say is why Rashi suggests that this verse alludes to the fact that there are two categories of Zav. This would be like earlier on, where Rashi teaches the difference between the verses that speak of one who has had two omissions or and three omissions. And while this is never explicitly stated in the verses themselves, based on the repetitious usage of the term Zav in the verse, Rashi is motivated to explain that this is about one who has had two emissions. And then in the verse that follows, the reference to the word Zav earlier on again is made three times, and Rashi explains this as one who has experienced an emission three times. And because in these two verses in our discussion, verses 23 and 24, the Zav is mentioned collectively three times, Rashi therefore explains that the words, "these are the laws of the Zav," means one who has seen one emission, and the words, "and the Zav in his state of Zivus," means one who has had two and one who has had three emissions. This is, however, a rather complicated explanation, because the dual use of the word Zav in the words and the Zav in his state of Zivus is not really that difficult to understand in the context of the verse. And it's actually similar to the words that follow referencing a woman, the Nida, in her status of Nidus. Also somewhat repetitive, but there's no intention, and Rashi gives no explanation for this. It's just as it is. Thus suggesting that this is why Rashi finds it necessary to explain the verses as he does, suggesting that this is the literal intention of the words, and these are the laws of the Zav, just doesn't compute. In addition to that, even if one accepted that this double usage is actually significant and requires explanation in the verse, even though the one that follows it isn't, the manner in which it is explained, saying that the Torah uses this repetitive expression, suggests that there's a reference here to two types of Zav, is not an explanation of actual intention of the verse. It is a midrashic style commentary at best on these words, and not an explanation of the literal words. Like earlier, when the word Zav and Zoivei is used in the verse, and Rashi teaches that these are the second and third emissions. Rashi does indeed say in that explanation that this is a midrashic interpretation of the words, in which case here too, Rashi should have indicated that his explanation is his way, is quoting a midrashic explanation, but it isn't a literal explanation of what the Torah says. We can suggest an explanation for Rashi's teaching here, one which isn't the literal intention of the verse as follows. The term, "this is the law of the Zav," is like saying, as it does in earlier sources in Torah, "this is the halacha of the Ola offering. This is the law of the Mincha offering." Those words, "this is the law," tell us that all laws relevant to the sacrifices are included there. Here too, the expression, "this is the law of the Zav," is, says Rashi, the Torah telling us that these are all the laws and all the details of all the categories of Zav in a specific order from the less severe to the more severe stages of impurity. Accordingly, we can explain why when the Torah speaks here about the impurity of the male Zav, and the Torah is going to teach us about the stringency of the level of Zivus, Zav is discussed alongside the Zava, a female who has an uncommon discharge, as they both have the same degree of severity. The difficulty with this explanation is that it is all-inclusive of the laws, and it's in order of severity. The difficulty with saying that is that if it's about the order of severity, then why does the Torah say this is the law of the Zav before the words "and one from whom semen emerges"? This would seem to tell us, particularly with the usage of the word "and," that there is a category of a Zav that is less severe than that of a seminal emission. As we cannot speak about one who has had two discharges to be similar to, certainly not less severe than, the category of a seminal discharge, then it must be said that Zeis Teres HaZav refers to a first or one Zav emission, which has a lesser degree of severity with an impurity that lasts only until evening. Okay, so we understand that detail, and now how this can be learned from the literal words of the verse. But we have yet to understand why Rashi says that the words Vahazov as Zevai, the one who has had a discharge, refers to one who has had two and then one who has had three discharges, as Rashi discussed earlier, or as Rashi says here in his explanation, as is discussed earlier in the Torah. From the words that Rashi employs to explain this, it's clear that according to Rashi, the words Vahazov as Zevai tell us that the verse is talking about two categories of Azov, the category of one has seen two discharges and one who has seen three. But from where in the verse does Rashi have proof that this is what these words mean? It seems we can respond to this saying that whereas Rashi has already told us that there are two categories of Azov, two sightings and a third sighting, and the Torah tells us of the different laws accorded to the severity of each of those, he once again details these two categories here. But when Rashi told us of these two categories earlier in the verses, because it is not clearly delineated in Torah, Rashi explained his words as midrashic, as a midrashic explanation, which does not suggest delineation in the verses. Yet in his explanation here, Rashi suggests that these two categories are laid out in the verses, in Rashi's words, Mifurashais Batera, earlier. The reality is, however, that when Rashi brings his answer from Midrash, the intention is not, like in other instances, where the answer is indeed only a Midrashic interpretation of the words of the verse. In our discussion, the Midrashic explanation explains the literal intention of the verse. And the Midrashic explanation that Rashi refers to is the revealing of an idea that is alluded to directly in the verse. In fact, the Midrashic explanation that Rashi brings is not just aligned with the literal intention of the verse, it is the interpretation one must arrive at according to the words in the verse. Because only according to this explanation of Rashi can the overly lengthy wording of the verse be understood fully. Earlier on, these two verses that we're talking about introduce this idea of impurity because of bodily emission. Chapter 15, verses 2 and 3 read. Verse 2, Dabru al b'nei Yisrov amartam aleihem ish ish, ki yezov mibsarei zevei tamehu. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any man has a discharge from his flesh, his discharge is unclean, rendering him impure. And then verse 3, v'zeis tihye tumasai b'zevei, ror b'sarei es zevei, oi hechtim b'sarei mizevei, tumasaihi. And this is the nature of his uncleanness due to the discharge. If his flesh runs with a discharge, or if his flesh is plugged up by the discharge, so a thinner discharge or a thicker discharge, that is his uncleanness. The first verse, verse 2, seems to have been cut short with the details that belong to that verse showing up in verse 3. The density of the discharge, which renders one impure, belongs with the information in verse 2, not with the specified instruction of verse 3 and onwards. That tells us where one cannot sit, or if one sat, or one lay upon something in that status and how it is impactful. Thus, the Midrashic explanation that Rashi teaches will tell us that the first verse, verse 2, counts two perceptions of a discharge, two sightings of a discharge, or two discharges, and calls him unclean. As it says, a discharge from his flesh, his discharge is unclean. Then the second verse, verse 3, counts out three discharges and calls him unclean, as it says, and this shall be the nature of his uncleanness due to his discharge, if his flush runs with his discharge, or if his flush is plugged up by the discharge, that is his uncleanness. Now, how is this so? And Rashi finishes, two are for uncleanness, and the third requires him to bring a sacrifice. This is teaching us that there are two categories in Azov, and their degree of impurity is not equal, and therefore they are quoted in two separate verses individually. What are these two categories, and where in the verses are they alluded to? Rashi tells us that each time Zov is mentioned in the verse, it alludes to an additional sighting of the discharge. Thereby, the first verse, repeating this twice, refers to two sightings, and the second verse, verse 3, references one who has had three sightings of a discharge. So it's actually from the literal words of the verses that we are forced to conclude, or Rashi is forced to conclude, that the seemingly redundant words in the verse tell us that there are two categories in Zov, one who has seen two discharges and one who has seen three. So since the Midrashic interpretation here is not found outside of the words of the verses, but in the words of the verses themselves, we understand that the laws that are applied to these two categories in regards to how to remove the impurity is not only what our sages deduce, but is absolutely determined in the very words of the verses. Because the words, and this will render him impure, in verse 3, are a continuation to the words in verse 2 that say he is impure, where the verse twice mentions the word zov, hence one who has had two sightings. And it's from here that we learn the relevant law. We must conclude that the laws of impurity, then, that are discussed later on, two are relevant to one who has had two sightings of a discharge. And in that case, we must say that the addition of one who has had three sightings isn't a commentary on the impurity itself, but it's rather about the extra law of sacrifice required for the one who has had three sightings. Accordingly, we will understand how Rashi says that these laws are found in the actual verses, because indeed, according to these earlier verses, the laws are determined directly from the verses.